the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. We love this. Don't we, Julie?
We love it. It's amazing.
It is. Every time we talk and every time we do these, it just, there's more to it than I had ever thought there would be. And it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper every single time.
Do you ever feel like as I was thinking about today's topic, I'm like, how, we haven't run out of topics.
No, I know.
I'm like, isn't there going to come a point where we're like, oh, like, what else should we talk about? No, no, it just keeps coming and coming and coming. There's so much to this, right?
Yeah.
In fact, can I start us off today with a total tangent that has absolutely nothing to do with what we're supposed to be talking about today?
Go that way.
Yeah. Except you don't even know it's a tangent because you don't know what we're talking about yet.
Okay.
It's okay. Wow. So we always pray before we start.
Yes.
And Kevin, I can't think of very many prayers that we have said where one of us has not expressed gratitude for the opportunity to do this and talking about how much we love it. Like, it really is something that we love. And we're so grateful that we get to do this. But you mentioned in your prayer, like you kind of were pleading that this will not just make a difference in the lives of people that are teaching in a formal calling, but that this will make a difference in people's homes and in their families. And so I started reflecting because my number one struggle is my own family and teaching the gospel and doing Come Follow Me on a regular basis. And so I was talking to my mom about it the other day. We were snowed in, iced in, and I was recovering from surgery. So I was very chatty. I just wanted attention and couldn't do much. And so I expressed to her my frustration about Come Follow Me because she was bragging about how great my sister and my brother are doing in their families with their young kids and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, Come Follow Me wasn't even a thing when my kids were that age. And maybe they would have been more cooperative and we could have developed. And I was like all this comparison resentment in my mind. And I finally was like, Mom, it's not working in my house. And I started to tell her some of my frustrations. And she's like, okay. You know, she listened. My mom's a very good listener. And then she said something to me that I thought was really great. She said, so why don't you stop you trying and ask them to ask you if they're interested? And I'm like, what? That's going to backfire. They're never going to be interested. But I started kind of thinking about that. I'm like, okay, how can I do that in a way that might actually be effective and put the onus on them? And so I'm still pondering. I haven't done that yet, but I did decide that I needed to put some more of the onus on my husband because I'm a broken record. Guys, let's do Come Follow Me. And so I sat down and I'm like, honey, can you initiate? Like, it would just help me so much if you would initiate. And we're doing it more because he's initiating. Like, it's just one...
Okay.
Like one more person, it's a different person. So I don't know if that helps anybody, but if you are the singular broken record in your house, why don't you give someone else the responsibility to instigate so that you don't have to? And maybe I actually will say, Liam, you're responsible for initiating for the next little bit. So if we do it zero, that's okay. But like, can you take it on for a couple weeks and let's see how we do and just transfer the ownership. And I don't know like if that helps at all. Here's the other thing that happened. We have a girl that's living with us right now that is absolutely lovely and we'll start doing Come Follow Me and my whole family will get distracted. So we're talking, I'm reading a scripture and all of a sudden I hear this side conversation between my husband and my son and my daughter starts doing flips still because that's her MO when we start doing scripture study. And I'm like, and finally my daughter set a timer and said, okay, this is how long we have. And the timer goes off and she's like, all right. And this girl who's staying with us said, well, I want to hear what you have to say. And I was like, thank you so much. And so maybe it is my children. I don't know. Maybe I should blame them. Maybe they're terrible listeners. I don't know. But anyway, just
ladies and gentlemen, this is raw, real stuff. This is not filtered. Welcome to Kevin and Julie's life.
I don't know how to do it better. So if we can solve that problem. And if it takes us 89 episodes to do that, I am committed. We are going the distance, Kevin. This will happen in my family. I need help. So if anyone has a suggestion for me, I'm very open and receptive because we, you and I, have not come up with something that's working yet.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So are we getting into like solution mode now, or are we,
we're soliciting. I'm soliciting feedback.
Feedback.
I'm asking for recommendations, suggestions, creative input. I feel like knowledge is power. If I know it's working for other people, then maybe other people could just spark something in me that would help me. So that's all that this is. It's not our topic today at all. It has nothing to do with our topic.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
No, remember? I started off by saying that. Except now that I think of it, it's going to circle back and totally apply. Crap. It's totally going to apply. Oh no, I'm totally, this. Just wait, you're going to see. I'm going to like.
Oh, I'm having fun with this already.
I'm going to like choke on this lesson. I didn't even make the connection to the application.
That's funny. Okay. All right, let's hear it.
Ready?
Yes.
Okay, here is what I want to start with. And I, Kevin, I'm going to need you to really engage in this and help me come up with a list. And I would encourage anybody who's listening to hit pause after I ask this question and write their own list. Okay. Mm. So don't listen to our list until you've brainstormed at least 7 things on your own list. Okay. Tell me what you worry about when it comes to teaching. So this can apply teaching your family, teaching in your calling, anything. What are the things that you worry about or think about the most?
Okay. Don't take this the wrong way.
Oh no.
I don't. I don't worry about anything.
Okay.
But
okay.
So, I mean, it's not, I mean, and
yeah, actually let me rephrase because worry might be the wrong word.
Okay. Okay.
What do you, I did rephrase. I said it in a rephrase because I actually, the minute I asked the question, you don't take this the wrong way, but I knew you were going to say that. And the reason I knew you were going to say that is because I know that you don't worry about it. It's like a game to you sometimes.
Right.
So worry is the wrong word. What okay. do you think about the most?
When?
Like, as you're anticipating a lesson.
Okay.
For some people, it's worry, by the way, because some of us are worriers.
Sure.
Unlike
sure.
you.
That makes, sorry. I'm not worried that you yeah, said that either.
Right?
Okay. So what am I thinking about the most? I'm thinking most about what do I want them to take away? What is the one thing I want them to take away from it?
Okay.
And what action will they take in the end?
Okay.
Right? Because I don't want them to walk away and not do anything about it. Yeah. So what action do I want to take away from the end? Another thing I think about is, okay, what will I prepare versus what will I let just be?
Okay, so prep versus kind of leave alone.
Yep.
Okay.
What questions will I ask?
Okay.
I think about who is in the class and their characteristics. Am I teaching adults?
Okay, so
am I teaching youth? Yeah, and yep, okay. Personalities, all of that.
So personalities,
right?
Age,
yep.
Understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so how I'm going to interrupt you for just. Oh, go ahead. No. Say it.
How can I make sure that I'm focusing on the spirit being there?
Okay. On the spirit.
Okay, interrupt me now.
Okay. And sure, let me write my note though. Okay. Maybe you don't worry about this, but when you were talking about like who's there and you were talking about, you know, personalities, age, level of understanding, I sometimes worry about specific people in the comments that they'll make. Like I've taught in classes before where people have made comments that have been hurtful, or where people have made comments that have derailed the lesson, or sure, commented too much, or, you know, I mean, I remember teaching a class where a lady had dementia and she would hijack the lesson all the time.
Wow.
So I,
yeah,
so these are,
that's
like
a real thing. Yes, challenge, that's good. Right? Yeah. Yeah. That's right? Good.
Okay. So I'm going to put, I worry about hijackings. I worry, and that's just kind of full of meaning. I worry about maybe comments that other people make, and that could be because they're hurtful. They're, you know, maybe it's the wrong information. Maybe so comments that others make. Okay. Okay. Anything else you can think of?
In the end, I like to walk away with a sense of, kind of a check of, did I give them what Heavenly Father wanted them to receive? And if there is any worry, I think that's my, would be a worry, is that one right there. Did I, because I don't like walking away going, I don't know that I even did that well. And I think that they walked away with nothing on that one. And that just didn't work. Right. But if we walk out, go ahead.
Are you saying actually in part that you, and because I hear you saying it in a very like how it should be way, that you're worried about giving them what Heavenly Father wanted them to receive. But are you also, like, being honest, do you worry a little bit about their perception of the lesson? I mean, I know you don't care what other people think necessarily as much, but I'm going to actually extrapolate from that, because I think a lot of people, if they're being honest, care what other people thought of the lesson.
I think I'm an anomaly, and I just don't care about that as
much. So I'll represent reality and you represent the unicorn.
Okay. Sounds good. But I do, I don't like walking out with a feeling that, oh, I don't think that just went over very well. And I don't know that they got anything out of that. And it's not what Heavenly Father would have them. And maybe I didn't steer that right. You know, I don't like that feeling. So that's one thing that, and I don't go in worrying about that. Sometimes that just naturally happens and I just bombed it, or at least I feel I bombed it, you know, but then I'll, I love it when we walk out and we're all edified and we're all like, oh, that was good discussion. Wow. Okay. We all learned something from it. Yeah. We're all going to do something about this. That's what I aim for.
You're not, you are consciously thinking about that going into it, but it's not a concern really. You're just kind of hoping for that. It's what you hope for. But then as you're coming out of it, it does become something that it you're processing through.
Yes.
Did that work? Was it not? Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else you can think of? Do you have any other? I'll give some more kind of honest from, you know, the natural man space, because I'm sorry, not everybody listening is going to be a unicorn like you. Mm. But really true. I know. You feel alone now. I isolated you with my comment. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'm offended.
But I do worry a little bit about this is going to sound crazy, but like how's my presentation going to look? Like, are people, do they think I'm prepared? Do they, you know, if I'm in Relief Society, am I doing a display? Do I have a cute outfit? Do you know what I mean? Like,
no,
so I worry a little bit about,
I'm not worried about that one.
No, not at all. I'm just going to say you're probably not worried about it. I worry about things that will put people off. And so like with my kids, for example, I worry about saying it in a way that won't turn them off, or do you know what I mean? Like have them tune out.
Yeah. So that's a thing. I'm not saying that this is better or worse. It's just different. I don't worry. And I never think about what would turn them off or what will offend someone. I don't do that. But I do evaluate in the middle of it, right? If something that comes up and I'm like, ooh, they said that, and I know that other person is really struggling with that, and that could have been offensive, then I go ahead and I try to mitigate that. Kind of bridge it right there. Right.
Yeah. Well, but so tell me if this doesn't cross your mind. And I think we've talked about this once. I actually have a specific memory of myself botching this. and then talking about it on the podcast like a long time ago, where I was teaching about a subject that could potentially be sensitive, and I had a quote that I was going to use, and I deleted part of the quote.
I remember,
because that was yes. the part that would make people sensitive.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So I do think that if it's a topic that has the potential to cause some sensitivity, then I obviously natural manda in that case, because I shared that with everybody.
Right.
I will sometimes in my preparation anticipate that and worry about how people are going to take or receive things. And then I try and make it a little so that I don't lose people. I'm actually saying that's not a good thing. I'm not suggesting that that's a great thing. I'm just making a statement. Does that make sense?
And yeah, that does come up, I guess, every now and then. If there's like a talk I give in sacrament and the bishop says, okay, Kevin, I need you to talk on this and you need to get this point across because this is a pretty sensitive topic overall. How do I approach that? I remember it was a couple years ago, I gave a talk and I had to be pretty straightforward about what I needed to say, but it needed to be said, kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. So in that case, there is some carefulness that I approach the topic, or with which I approach the topic. I don't think it's, I wouldn't label it as worry, but it is something that I think about.
Yeah. Sure. Well, and again, these are, it doesn't even have to be worry. It just is more things that you're thinking about as you're getting ready, right? Do you have anything else you want to add?
Yes. The room.
Okay. The space.
The space. I am like a space freak in a way.
Like an alien or like maybe. A space like.
I mean, I did work with NASA, so you never know. So
Kevin, you are all about aliens now. This is amazing. What a revelation. I didn't know this.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, keep going. Sorry.
The UFO I had is pretty cool. So I like to have a space in which it makes it easy to have discussions. I hate meeting in the chapel for Elders Quorum, but we don't have much of a choice sometimes on that. That's just one example, right?
Yeah.
Yep. But even with a smaller class or, when we're teaching a lesson with the missionaries, where are we? What's the environment? I don't want to say I'm hypersensitive, but I'm very aware of my surroundings at that point. Is anything playing in the background? Is there, is the TV on? Are there kids that could potentially run through? And what will that do to the spirit? So I'm constantly thinking about the space that we are in and how we can use it or what will distract from the spirit.
So maybe this isn't something that you think about, but this is something that happens. So actually, you actually transitioned me to the next brainstorming category, if you will, please.
All right.
To what are some things that happen during the lesson that could potentially throw you?
Yep.
Okay.
All those right there.
All of those things that you just listed, like the physical things, like people running through. One of the things that's really tough sometimes is that because we share a building with another ward, their sacrament meeting will go on and they'll have the organ blasting. And then we're just through that little curtain in the gym and we can't use the microphone because if we did, they'd be listening to it.
Right.
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 So the physical space and interruptions. What else? Yeah. Any other things like that can potentially happen that you are like, ooh, could throw you for a little bit of a loop?
I think you mentioned some of them before, which are those comments that people make that you have to be just ready for. Can't prepare for them all the time, but it's just, I need to figure out how
those
to handle
that. Those are
things
that could throw you for a little bit of a loop. Yeah.
Right. Whether it's someone taking the lesson in a completely different direction, which is one of my pet peeves, but I try to keep it, within some kind of context. You've got the people
lesson
don't redirect talking. And you mentioned that earlier.
Wait, what was that? People who what?
People who don't stop talking.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Or what about people who don't talk?
If it's a majority of the people that don't talk, then that's an issue. Yeah. But
that's what I'm saying. Just no conversation, no dialogue. You're like crickets every time you ask a question.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Anything else you can think of?
Do I have enough water to get me through it?
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, so those, you know,
audiovisual, yeah. Audiovisual stuff, maybe.
Yeah.
Whether or not the audiovisual is going to work.
Yep.
Like if you have a video you want to show or.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, sometimes the cable doesn't work. You got to make sure you have the right adapters. Yeah. Okay. Okay. This is a good list. This is a really good list. Okay, so this is what I want to do with this list. So I've been thinking a little bit about something just because I tend to be a worrywart, unlike you. And in my life in general, this is something that I kind of struggle with. And a few different times in the past couple of weeks, this thought has come to me about something that Stephen Covey used to teach. And it's such a basic principle. It's in like every, you know, what do you want to call it? Like corporate course that you've ever done, blah, 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 sure. blah, blah. But it's the concept of your circle of influence versus your circle of concern.
Okay.
So if you haven't seen that before, you have, this is just kind of the basic look.
Yeah.
Right there. Let me get it in the right spot.
You got it
right there. Okay. So you have this circle of concern that is things that you are worried about, but don't necessarily have a lot of control over. And then you have a circle of influence, which is things that you have control over that you can, or at least you have some kind of influence over. And the problem is that most of us spend the majority of our time focusing on what's within our circle of concern. And part of the reason for that is because we may think, oh, the things in our circle of influence are under control because I'm controlling them.
Sure.
And so we spend more brain power worrying about the things that are within our circle of concern and not necessarily our circle of influence. And so when we made this list, in my mind, I was kind of going through and filtering them and trying to figure out where they would go. So let's talk through that. And then what I want to lead into is how can we expand our circle of influence?
Mm-hmm.
And so let's talk for just a second about the list. And so hopefully if you are listening, you made your own little list, and I would encourage you to do the same thing with your own little list, right? Figure out which category they go in. Okay. And so what's interesting and started to kind of come to light as we were doing this list is that there are aspects of these that we've podcasted about before, that we've talked about before in our discussions, that there is a part of it that's within your circle of influence, but then a part of it that is not. And so let's go through the list and let's figure out where we might place them. Okay. So what you want them to take away. Okay.
Influence.
You think what just flew behind you? Uh-huh. Okay. So the first one on the list was what we want them to take away. What do you think? Circle of influence or circle of concern?
Influence.
Okay. What we want them to take away. Now the next one, what will they take away?
Can we kind of have one foot in and one foot out in that?
Okay. So ish, think about it. You have no control over what somebody actually takes away. Zero. Do you have control over whether they're listening? Do you have control over what they're looking at on their phone? Do you have control over what's going through their mind and whether or not they're distracted? Nope.
Huh. I need to think about that one more because I was going the opposite direction.
Okay. Well, but what you want them to take away.
Right.
What you want them to take away squarely.
Yes.
Within
yes.
your circle of influence. what they actually take away. Is it?
Okay, I'll give that to you. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Because truly, when you think about it, what you want them to take away, you plan and prepare for. Like literally part of, like, we can't be more clear about this, right? You've got to decide what your point is. You don't want to go into a lesson and plan content. You have to plan a reason for the content.
Right.
It's not just about getting through, come follow me. It's about what's the message? What is it that you want? And you can't pick all the messages in any given week. So what is it that you want to be the takeaway? That is within your circle of influence.
So tell me if I'm wrong in thinking about this in this model, because that actually took me to a new level that I may have just totally made up and it doesn't actually exist. Like a meta level in a different universe, okay? There's the circle of...
Well, we're talking, you are a fan of aliens, so right. It totally makes sense that you would do that.
All right. So there's a circle of concern, then the smaller circle of influence. Then I could see there's the circle inside that of circle of... I don't know what to call it. Circle of guarantee. Right? So what do they take out? I have influence in that. 100% I have influence in that. Now, will it be what I want them to? And will it be exactly what I... No. It's not going to be that. But I certainly have influence on that. So that's the direction I was coming from. Now, can I make sure that everyone takes away the same thing? No. But I have an influence on that. Does that make sense?
Totally does. So what if we were to do this? I almost feel like there's a circle of control...
That's a circle of influence. For. Why is that such a hard
and
word?
Then a circle of concern, right?
There you go. Control, influence, concern.
I love it. I'm there. I love it. Okay. So control, influence, concern. I think that's actually a really valid point. So you can't control, but you can influence what they take away.
Right.
So let me ask you a question. What's the difference between influence and control? And actually, let me ask that question first, and then I have a follow-up question to that.
Okay, and then I have a follow-up question for you on that as well. Okay,
do it.
Woo! Yeah. All right, let's do this. For me, the difference between that is that with the control, you dictate.
Okay.
It is you are the mastermind behind it. The influence is that the outcome may be unknown, but your influence to go in a specific direction. Now, whether it will or won't, but you have an influence on that, right? So I almost see it, this is a bad way of saying this, but Heavenly Father, I think, has us in his circle of influence. And Satan wanted us to have us in his circle of control.
Wait, why is that a bad way of saying it? I think that's actually the perfect analogy.
Okay, great.
You're a genius. Perfect. That was a genius. Right,
there you go.
Yeah, that was very well said.
Okay.
Okay, so let me ask my follow-up question, then you can ask your other follow-up question.
Okay.
Where did Jesus spend his time? So if you have a circle of control and a circle of influence, and we're talking about really that's the most productive place for us to spend his time, where did Christ spend his time?
Circle of control, influence, and concern. So I'm reeling through examples in my mind here.
Yeah. Of like that's kind of what I did right, prior to this. I kind of started going through scriptures just a little bit. So yes, go ahead.
Sometimes I could see circle of are you talking about when he taught or just his life?
I'm talking about a little bit of both, but I was thinking more about the teaching moments.
Yeah.
Right? I was thinking more about how he chose to teach.
Yes. So I would certainly say the circle of influence, because I think of the many parables he taught. there is no control over that, right? You're going to give a parable. Everyone's going to take something a little bit different from it. Those who really understand, then they're going to dive in deeper and really get the deeper meaning. But there are those who aren't ready for it and they won't get that. So there's the circle of influence, but he's not controlling all that, right? So that's where I'm going. That's my final answer, Regis.
Final answer, influence. Okay, so if we're thinking about that, and this is one of the things that I thought about, I'm like, we want to make sure that we actually aren't spending time ourselves in a circle of control.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Because I think if we spend time in a circle of control, we're trying to manipulate and coerce. And I think you said dictate was what you, when you were talking about the circle of concern, or excuse me, control versus influence, you were differentiating them by saying the circle of control is where you get to dictate. And so I would actually say that for the sake of this example, we probably ought to just focus on it being a circle of influence and a circle of concern. Gotcha. And there aren't guarantees in the circle of influence, you're right. And there are things that you can guarantee, but do they have anything to do with the most important parts of teaching? Mm.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm literally processing through this as we go, because this is, like I said, these are thoughts that they were not fully baked. I didn't have any idea where this discussion was going to go. I'm literally modeling what we've been talking about. I prepared a point and then we're discussing the point, right?
I like it.
This is what we've talked about in the past. Okay, so let's keep going though. Like, let's see if that theory holds up at all, right?
Okay.
I think that I agree with you that there are kind of three circles a little bit, because it depends on how you define influence. But if it's coercion, I don't want to spend a lot of time in the coercion circle either. Like, if I'm thinking about how I teach my kids, my son Liam has actually said this to me a few times before. He's like, Mom, you know, if you force her, you're pushing her away. This is my 17-year-old, now 18. And he hears me saying to Addie, no, you know, while you do need to go to Young Women's, blah, 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 and not giving her a choice. And he's like, well, just, you know, Mom, you're treading a fine line. You don't want to push her away. And I'm like, food for thought, food for thought. Like, I don't know if he's right in every instance, but he's caused me to pause and think about it, because I do love me a good circle of control.
Okay. So then my question to you, after you ask your question, is where should we be teaching from? What circle should we be teaching from?
Right. And that, I think we answered, right?
Yes. And I think we did. Yeah. Taught. Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
So that is a really good discussion, in my opinion, to kind of define what we mean by circle of influence and define where we want our focus to be.
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, end point here is that, and I'll just, you know, begin with the end in mind. Here we go. The main point that I'm trying to make today is that we need to be really intentional about not spending a bunch of time thinking about the things that are within our circle of concern, even though we're tempted to be distracted and derailed by them.
Of course.
And I would say also not hyper-focus on the things within our circle of control, but instead spend the bulk of our time focused on the things that are within our circle of influence.
That's great. Yes.
So let's keep going through the list and see if there's any other insight that comes from that. And we can kind of go through it a little bit more quickly. Okay.
All right.
What action they take, or will they even take action?
That would be, again, going back, influence. We can influence it, but we're not going to control that. It is our concern.
What is it?
Right?
It is a concern.
It is certainly a concern.
I would say that that is squarely within the circle of concern, and not, like, we can influence inspiring them and all of that stuff, but what actually happens? They walk out that room and there's no Satan here. Like, this is agency. Agency is like what people actually choose to do. So it's interesting, because I think one of the things that I was reading about, and this is, again, jumping ahead just a little bit, how do we expand our circle of influence? Well, when you think about how you shrink your circle of influence, what comes to your mind? So like this kind of prompted the thought. So you have a circle of influence. You clearly want it to be bigger if possible. So what are some things that we do that actually shrink our circle of influence?
Boy, I don't know. I'm not thinking anything off the top of my head. Prime the pump here. I don't know.
Priming the pump. What did I just talk about with Liam, the lesson that he was teaching me? Through coercion, we start to actually diminish, or manipulation, we actually diminish our circle of influence over other people.
So are you saying people. That as we maybe focus on the circle of control and grow that, our circle of our focus of influence starts to shrink? Sure.
Yeah, I think so. But now flip it on its head. And when we focus on our circle of concern too much.
Yes.
Yeah. And we're reactive and we, you know, have a victim mindset mentality. We start to think about the things that, you know, like get bogged down by the things that we can't necessarily control.
Yeah.
Then our circle of influence shrinks. So, you know, for example, to use another one that's within our circle of concern pretty squarely, that was on our list, the comments that other people make, obviously we can influence that by the questions that we ask, but the actual words that come out of their mouth, we don't get to dictate, right?
Right.
And so if we end up being, kind of weighed down, bogged down, reactive to those, our circle of influence actually shrinks.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yes.
So it's like a reactive response to a lot of the things that, you know, the physical space, the comments and the interruptions, the questions that you don't know how to answer, you know, the lesson redirects, the people that don't stop talking. Like if we allow ourselves to lose focus on the things that are within our circle of influence, even during the lesson while we're teaching, that circle will shrink as our concerns get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Like those distractions, those things can actually, if we're reactive, cause our circle of influence to diminish.
Gotcha. So it's really focusing on the things that you can have an influence on and letting the other things go. How? Right. Yeah. I agree with that. How though? I mean, because really I see there. So you talk, I'm going to go to this example. You talked about, okay, what am I wearing? Am I wearing the right thing, right? Okay. That's the concern, right? That example.
That's not within your circle of concern. What is it?
Oh, I guess it's the...
Total control over what I wear. Yeah, I have total control.
You know,
so if I'm hyper-focusing on that, what am I missing?
Yeah.
Right? If I'm hyper-focusing on... Because I get to pick my outfit.
Yep, that's
nobody
true.
Picks it for me. Right?
So how do you...
Stuff like that.
How do you not focus on those other things, though? Because I guess my point is that we have spent kind of a lifetime of, in the way we teach, that is kind of our MO. That's what we do. And then how do you switch that around and say, okay, I'm not going to focus on that anymore. I need to focus on these other things. Do you have any thoughts about that?
That is such a good question. So when you're talking about not focusing on these things anymore that we've spent a lifetime kind of focusing on and switching to focus on something else, you're like, how do you just rewire your brain and all of a sudden do it differently, right?
Right.
So part of my thought has to go with, you know, this principle of habits. Like you can't try and get rid of a habit. You have to replace it with a different habit.
Sure.
And so what I'm thinking of in here is a mental exercise where you can't get rid of all of those things that are within your circle of concern and like will yourself not to even think about them anymore. But what you can do is replace it with thoughts that are more focused on your circle of influence. So it really is a shift in focus. And so I asked people to make their own list that hopefully will be a super, super honest list. And it may change. That list may change for every teaching opportunity. And you may have to brainstorm a different list for your family versus a calling that you have. But the point is that when you brainstorm that list and you categorize them, part of what you do is you give yourself the freedom to consciously let those things go that you don't have influence or control over, and focus instead on what you want to have influence and control over. And I say control not in the manipulative Satan way, but in the idea of I can actually do something about this. So it's literally saying I'm not going to be acted upon by my circle of concern. Instead, I'm going to be an agent to act within my circle of influence. And so, like, let me just kind of through a couple more on the list.
Okay.
You know, we do within our circle of influence is the questions that we will ask. And if they're controlling or manipulative questions, they're not the right questions. But if they're questions designed to actually help people want to do something, that's where your influence comes in, right? Want to take action. They help to teach the point. Focus on that in your preparation.
So you're saying questions can be both within the, I mean, depending on what kind of a question there are, but questions, the category overall could be both control and the influence. Is that what you're saying?
If you're not careful, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So and think I agree about with that. This.
Yeah.
If you're asking only, like, think about, we've talked about this, how you can almost use your power for good or for evil when it comes to asking questions, that you can manipulate a person through your questions. You can steer the conversation. And if you're having, you know, a really good lesson, part of what we have suggested in podcasts past is that you not try to steer and manipulate the conversation through your questions. Instead, you use the questions to get an honest dialogue, which is influence, not control.
Yeah. That's good.
Right?
I like that.
Okay. So then do you have influence over, and using that word a little bit loosely, influence or control over who is there, their personalities, their age, their level of understanding, et cetera?
No.
Okay. So that is squarely within your circle of concern.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And so if you're obsessing, for example, over a specific person that's in that class, and you're obsessing over what they might say, and you're planning your lesson around that person.
That person, sure.
Right?
It's a real thing.
Then maybe it's real. Like maybe taking a step back and saying, what do I have influence over here? I don't have influence over that person. I don't have control over who's going to show up. And even that's part of it. Oh my gosh, what if nobody comes today? How can I get them to come? What can I do? And you don't focus as much on what they would take away. It's a shift, right? Or what about you're worried about the hijackings? You're worried about the comments that others make. You're worried about, you know, how they're going to take it. You can control what comes out of your mouth, but you don't get to control, or, you know, it's within your circle of concern only how they will actually receive it, whether or not they're offended, whether or not it lands. Like, that's the job of them and the spirit. And yet, sometimes we obsess over that. So what is within our circle of influence when it comes to that? Sure. That's where our focus should be.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. It's a totally different way of looking at that. I've never even thought of before from that perspective. But I think that sheds some light on some of the things that we can stop worrying about. Stop fixating on. Stop. Don't even let it occupy. But to have it not occupy, you need to replace it with some of your influence.
Nailed it. That's exactly the point that I was hoping would come across with this. I'm so guilty of this. I'm so guilty of this. But it's a really simple exercise to do, to kind of just jot a list of the things that you're worried about. Jot a list of the things that are part of this experience that you're going to create. And then consciously choose to focus on those things that are within your circle of influence.
Yeah. I can see a teacher listening to this thinking, okay, I got to write down the things that are making things difficult in my class, write them all down, and then say, okay, which ones are in the circle of influence concern that I just need to get rid of, and how do I get rid of those? Stop thinking about those, replace it with the influence ones, focus on the things that will actually have an influence rather than something you can't really do anything about.
Right. And you can't get rid of your circle of concern. You can't will it away. You get to do nothing, but
you don't have to focus on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't let it control you though.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a trap that we sometimes fall into that makes us not more influential, but actually less. As right. we choose to focus on our circle of influence expands. And so as we focus on our circle of concern, our circle of influence shrinks.
That's good. All right. Now I need to go back through that. I wish I'd taught more in church itself so that I can really kind of parse those things out and really think, okay, how, you know, what things am I thinking about that I really ought not to? I've been kind of obsessing around that and I need to stop. But that's a really good exercise.
Well, I'll give you an example of why it's really tough and then we can wrap. Sorry, I don't mean to keep like dragging this on, but I'm teaching a marriage class right now at church.
Yeah.
And I don't have any control over whether or not they do the homework.
Right.
However, I do have influence in that I can remind them and I can bring it to their attention and then it's up to them, right? I also don't have any control over how the conversation goes when we do these practice exercises. And not every marriage is, you know, peachy and lovely and whatever. And so we have some really difficult conversations in that space. And topics come up that are hard and sometimes, you know, like tender. And when those come up, they can make everybody uncomfortable. I don't have any control over that. But I worry sometimes about how it's going to affect the newlywed couple that's in that class, you know, to hear some of this, you know, tough stuff that is coming. Right. And I worry about, and I can't spend any time on that. I've got to focus on what Heavenly Father, and I have influence over this, like you brought up, right? What it is that Heavenly Father wants me to teach. And then not worry about whether or not it lands right or whatever. It's just seeking the Spirit. That is something I have influence over. That's the main thing I have influence over. I think that you said something to do with your preparation, you know, and in terms of seeking the Spirit and in terms of trying to figure out what Heavenly Father wants them to know. That's smack dab in the center of your circle of influence.
Yeah.
You get to pick whether or not you do the work and pay the price to do that. And so that's where my focus needs to be, not on whether or not it's going to go over right with everybody in the class, because this is a hard one. It's a little bit more volatile, if you will. And I say volatile, not in like a negative way, but just kind of, you never quite know, because I don't know people's issues.
Right.
Right.
And that's, so going back to the question of where should we be teaching from? I think some people, now that, you know, you put it in that light, in that context, I think I know people that teach from their circle of concern, some people that teach from the circle of control, mm-hmm. and then some that mm-hmm. teach from circle of influence. And
right. there's a difference.
Yeah, there's a big difference. That's a yeah. great way to look at that. Mm. Thank you. I love it.
Thank right. you. I'm grateful for the discussion.
I think I'm going to add that to my outline of analyzing.
You talked about last week.
That I talked about last time. Yeah, yeah. About, okay, yeah. okay. Where are they teaching from? And I don't know that I'll be able to tell, right? Because that's their head, but I'll look, see if maybe that's maybe something that we can add in there. I don't know.
Yeah, interesting. I actually wonder if I could pick up on it with other people. I think a little bit, because the circle of control will be easy to spot.
Yes, I think that'll be really easy to spot, in fact. But the others, like are they teaching from the circle of concern? I don't know. I'm going to have to try that out.
Actually, yes, yeah? I think so. I can think of examples of times that I've watched people teach from their circle of concern.
Okay.
That's an interesting, okay, food for thought. Let's try and experience it now.
Let's go do it. Good. Thanks everyone for listening. Awesome. Go do what we're going to go do. Go see, well, actually two things. Evaluate yourself and say, okay, where am I teaching from? And should I move off of that? And then go look at others and see if you can notice in others. Not that we're trying to be judgy, but it will help enlighten how we teach and help bring some things to our mind as to, oh, you know what? I do that too. And I had never thought about that one. That's a good point, right?
Sometimes it's easier to spot things in other people than it is to spot them in yourselves. And so it's just for education only and to help you reflect better.
Yes.
Not judgy.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Julie. Awesome. Take care, everyone.
Thank you.